All right, then I'm back. What you can do is just scroll up on the page where you're at to Saturday, July 23rd, 2005. And my question was, A Course in Miracles says, look once again upon your enemy, the one you chose to hate instead of love. Jesus told us to love our enemy. What would you teach us regarding our enemy? Here's the answer. There is no enemy but yourself, and you can never be an enemy unto yourself, so there is no enemy. But there is an imagined enemy, and that is you. For you could not hate or fear anyone else if you did not hate and fear yourself. Mm-hmm. Look once again upon yourself, the one you chose to hate instead of love. Ask, why do I hate you? You will find that the answer is fear. You fear yourself. So to protect yourself, you separate from yourself. And to ensure you remain separate, you made hate. The purpose of hate is to keep you separate from love because you fear love. I'm just going to read that paragraph once again. Of course, what's flying through my mind as I'm reading it is the entire story of the Tiny Mat idea and also the cyclone of fear and hatred that I saw in my mind in August when the Holy Spirit let me step in for 2 seconds and see the extent of the fear and the hatred that is in our mind. So all of that is going through my mind as I'm reading this. And I just think it's very, very important to realize that, you know, again, because of a judgment we made against ourselves, again, we judged ourselves, no one else did. A judgment we made against ourselves, we then began to fear ourselves, and then out of fear, we made hate in order to block us from going back to love because we now feared love. It's totally the story of the Tiny Mat idea. So let me read this paragraph again. Look once again upon yourself, the one you chose to hate instead of love. Ask, why do I hate you? You will find that the answer is fear. You fear yourself, so to protect yourself, you separate from yourself. And to ensure you remain separate, you made hate. One thing I'm noticing also in this sentence, of course, he's totally talking about thought. He's totally talking about thought, a story, literally a story we made up in our mind and believed. Because if you think about it, even with the ego's logic, even with thinking mind logic, there is no way we can be separate from ourself. Think about that. You cannot be separate from yourself. Wherever you go, you take you with you. It's impossible to be separate from yourself. But notice what he is saying is that because we feared ourselves, we wanted to separate from ourselves, and then to ensure we remained separate, we made hate. This is all nothing but thought, because it's completely impossible for it to happen in reality. This is thought. It's a story we've made up in our mind, and we believe it. And whenever we hate, we are acting out of the belief of this ridiculous story, an impossible story. You will ask yourself, why do I hate you? You will find that the answer is fear. You fear yourself. So to protect yourself, you separate from yourself. And to ensure you remain separate, you made hate. The purpose of hate is to keep you separate from love because you fear love. And of course, what I'm also seeing in this is the absolute perfection of it. Not only the ridiculousness, but the perfection. Because if you just even think about the feelings of love and hate, even as we know them in the world, even as the ego knows them, you know what it feels like to love someone, whether it's to be to love your spouse, to love your child, to love your dog. You know what that feeling is like, that love, that joy that you feel. Now think of the feeling of hate. And you know that when you're hating your spouse, hating your child, or even hating your dog, in that moment, you're completely separate from love. So I'm also seeing the story is totally ridiculous, But the solution that we came up with is perfect. It's absolutely perfect. Because when we're hating, we're separate from love. It's brilliant.
Very nice trick.
It's brilliant.
It is brilliant. Totally brilliant.
Let's give ourselves a hand.
Exactly.
All right, so again, the purpose of hate is to keep you separate from love because you fear love. Question. So when Jesus asked us to love our enemy, where was he guiding us? Answer. He was guiding you to let go of your hate, to face that which you fear and discover that it is not fearful. You must put down your defenses against it. I'm going to read that sentence again. To face that which you fear and discover that it is not fearful, you must put down your defenses against it. So I just talked about this ridiculous story that we've made up in our mind and believed. This ridiculous story that we could be separate from ourselves. But the only way we're going to find out it is truly a ridiculous story is to face that fear of ourselves. But hate we made so that we would never face it. So as long as we choose to continue to hate, we're protecting ourselves from looking at a story that we made up, which means we're never going to discover we just made up the story. As long as we believe our hate, we can never be free. Hate is literally a defense mechanism against something that we fear, but that which we fear is not true. Let me start over again with this answer and read. I asked again, why did Jesus ask us to love our enemy? Where was he guiding us? And the Holy Spirit says, he was guiding you to let go of your hate, to face that which you fear and discover that it is not fearful. You must put down your defenses against it. Hate is but a tricky defense against love. Put it down. It serves no useful purpose for you. It protects you from nothing, but do not doubt that you do believe it protects you. So right there is why we cling to our hate. It protects you from nothing, but do not doubt that you do believe it protects you. You must see hate for what you made it to be before you can truly lay it aside. He means we have to accept that it's just a defense mechanism. We have to accept that. And when we accept that it's a defense mechanism, we'll be willing to lay it down. Remember that your purpose is love. It is fear that keeps you from love, and it is hate that protects you from your fear. Can you see how you must lay down your hate if you are to join with me? Question. And for those times when it seems difficult to believe that the one we hate is ourself, for when we seem justified in anger towards another, what thought can help us then? So when it seems like, as you all can imagine, because I know we've all had this experience, somebody really has done something bad to me in the world, and I feel fully justified in hating them. At that point, this whole story, you know, of who I really hate is myself, you know, because I fear myself, that whole story just doesn't stand up in that moment when I'm caught up in the world. So what can help me then? Answer. I am love. Say to yourself in any situation in which you find hate or anger or irritation within you, I am love. This feeling now is but a defense against God. And then ask yourself what it is that you choose above all else. Always seek that which you seek above all else, for that is surely me. And within that thought, you will find the will to lay down your defense against me, because you will have shown yourself that you do not want that defense. So again, it's very similar to the message we got from Holy Spirit this week where he said, will is the way, mm-hmm. right? What he's saying here is, you know, when you find yourself in a situation that seems real and you seem fully justified in your hate, take a moment to remember what you truly want. Go ahead, you want to say something?
Either what you truly want or take a moment to see what you are really doing to yourself right now.
That Absolutely.
Is the tremendous power of the last message we received, he says that will is the way and awareness is the way.
Yeah, and you know what? I see them both in this paragraph. Finish.
Yeah, exactly.
Go
and desire is the way as well.
Yep.
Meaning that will, awareness and desire without distraction, that is called judgment, is exactly the same thing.
Yeah, will is the way. Will is the way. Remembering what you want is the way. Building your desire for what you want is the way. But the other thing he told us this week is being aware of the wego. I've been doing pretty good up until
not
now.
The wego.
If you all knew the state of my mind tonight, you'd realize it's a bit of a miracle that I've gone 47 minutes without something like that happening.
Yeah.
Well, I go, the phone rang, and I couldn't even remember how to answer a telephone, so I've been doing really well, really well.
It's a wego's world, I'm telling you.
Being aware of the ego, being aware of the tricks we're playing on ourselves is also a part of the way. So really, he's pointed out to us this week two steps in what he called the most effective way: being aware of the ego and being aware of what we want. And I can see both of those in this paragraph. Being aware of the ego comes from this statement he has us say, "I am love. This feeling now is but a defense against God." That's being aware of the ego in that moment, realizing what hate really is. And then later, he says, "Always seek that which you seek above all else." That is reminding us of our will or desire. Mm-hmm. So it's not near as deep as the message we received this week.
I see it as deep. I mean,
it's the same though.
I see it's the same. Yes,
it's
exactly.
The same.
Because it really, it's the same thing. It takes us to the famous choose again. Because when we realize what we're really doing, we won't like to do it again. When we realize what is really hate. Hate is a defense mechanism. It's a trick.
Yes.
To protect me from my fear of God.
Yes.
Do I still want it? As more as I see that, it's like judgment. You know, mm-hmm. What is judgment? Judgment is a trick in order not to know yourself.
Yes, yes.
Like choose between, for example.
Yes,
the thing was about choose between. So when he tells us what is really choose between, just a trick to make you look somewhere else, to make you believe that you want something because it's better than another. Just a trick not to look at the ego. When you realize that choose between for like 25,000 times, you realize that choose between is a trick that will make me suffer. At some point, you will go, well, I don't want to suffer anymore.
I don't want to suffer anymore.
And so that is what awareness and will is about the same thing.
Maybe we'll go over that message Sunday night, the new one.
That's more than a maybe, I think.
More than a maybe, yeah. So anybody who wants to join us on Sunday night, we'll go over that new message.
It's a great message, by the way. Great message.
So looking once again upon your enemy, that is the end of that particular message. Great message, by the way.
I want to print it.
You want to print it. Okay, we'll do that. For now, click on next entries at the top of the page. And then you'll want to grab the scroll bar and drag all the way to the bottom. And it looks like we have time probably for one more. It looks like we have a message on Sunday, July 24th, 2005. It's called, "The Formless Cannot Find Itself in Form." So we'll read this one. This will probably be the last one for the night. We'll see how it goes. Yeah, it looks like it, because the next one is very long. So this will be the last one for the night. "The Formless Cannot Find Itself in Form." Holy Spirit, A Course in Miracles says... First of all, I want to point something out to you all. I want you to just notice how these last two messages have started off by saying, "A Course in Miracles says," and then I asked a question. The reason I want to point that out is because I think it's really important for us to realize that we do not get answers from our thinking. Often when we read something in A Course in Miracles or NTI or any place else that we don't understand, what we get into is thinking and trying to figure it out. And I'm sure you all know this, and I'm sure you all know the feeling that comes with it, the frustration feeling or the pressure feeling in the head, the feeling. It just doesn't work. The way to get the answer is to admit we don't know and then just ask for the answer to be given and let go of the thinking. And even if you don't feel like you can sit down and listen to Holy Spirit like I do and write in words, totally irrelevant, because many, many times I get my answers in other forms. I'll ask a question, I'll see something I don't understand, and I'll ask Holy Spirit, I don't understand this, please show me what this means. Then forget about it. That's the important part. Forget about it. And it shows up in a post somewhere or in somebody else's teaching or in a CD, or it suddenly hits you while you're taking a shower. It doesn't matter, but the answers are always given. as long as we're willing not to try and figure them out for ourselves. So I just wanted to take a moment to point that out. So now, back to my question. Oh, wait, Lord Blue, go ahead, please. Could you explain this more? Is it fear that keeps you from love? And is it hate that protects you from your fear?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, that's what Holy Spirit said. I'm not certain what to explain more. I'll just run briefly through the Tiny Mad Idea story real quick. As you know, we asked the question, you know, based on the NTI version of the story, what would it be like if everything was different than it was? We were given two options. Option A, everything is what it is. It can't be different. Option B, it's different. And we chose option B. We chose to explore that fantasy. But when we stepped into that fantasy and began to explore it, everything was different. And then we judged ourselves that we had done something very, very wrong. And when we judged ourselves, now you got to remember, at this point, we judged ourselves still with awareness that we were creator, awareness of how creation works. So when we judged ourselves as bad with that knowledge, we also began to immediately fear what we were going to do to ourselves. So an enormous amount of fear came out of that, more fear than we can sit here and imagine. An enormous amount of fear came out of that. And then we, of course, feared our fear. And so what Holy Spirit is telling us is the next thing we created was the hatred of ourself, because that hatred of ourself, as you can imagine, you know, when you hate something, you move away from it. So that hatred of ourself moved us away from ourself, which protected us from that which we feared. So hopefully that answers the question. So hate, our very first defense mechanism. Okay, Lord Blue, please go again. Yeah, what do you got? Is hate because of fear, or is hate separate from fear? Apparently that sentence says that hate is a protection for fear. I'm interested to know the relationship between fear and hate. Yeah, the answer to that question, Lord Blue, is in the Course in Miracles statement, ideas never leave their source. So any idea that comes out of another idea still has the idea it came from embedded within it. So in that way, those ideas are not separate from one another. So out of judgment came fear, which means within fear there is judgment. And out of fear came hate, which means within hate there is fear and there is judgment. It's like the word I used today in a post I made today, it's a house of cards. One idea builds on top of another and it builds a house of cards. But each idea contains within it all of the ideas that made it. So in no way are they separate. So hate includes fear and judgment within it. Ideas do not leave their source. Okay? Is that it? All right then. You're welcome, Lord Blue. All right then. So, now for our last reading of the night. The formless cannot find itself in form. Here is the question. Holy Spirit, A Course in Miracles says, when you decide upon the form of what you want, you lose understanding of its purpose. So you see your will within the idol, thus reducing it to a specific form. What more will you share with us regarding this thought? Please help us as we learn not to seek in form. And as you can imagine, at this point, I'm still working on letting go of the foundation for the awakening mind as an idol. Even though that whole thing had fallen apart, sometimes the letting go of the ideas takes a little longer. So there was still a struggle going on here within my mind. I'm sure you can see why I would be attracted to this question. Answer. It is always you, with a capital Y, that you seek. I can also say that it is always me, for you and me are the same. Above all else, you seek you, the completion of you, and you believe you will find it in the world of form. You believe you will find it in those shoes, that chair, that mate, that income. This is like one of our recent messages, too, also. Mm-hmm. Remember it listed all the things that you're mm-hmm. searching in?
Mm-hmm.
But as I said to you yesterday, you will never find what you seek in form. The formless cannot find itself in form. As long as form seems real to you, you can step toward the formless by seeking the joining of the heart. This is not the joining into relationships as the world does it, for this joining is inclusive, not exclusive. It is non-judgmental, not selective. It is giving, not a getting. This joining may seem to be in form, and you may seem to see its results played out there, but joining of the heart is beyond form. It is joining within the mind of spirit. It is gathering yourself unto yourself. It is a piecing together of what seems broken. It is finding the completion you seek. Do not imagine when you are making friends and giving of your love that you are piecing yourself together, if you have also identified pieces that you believe must be left out of your own personal puzzle. I tell you that if you are attempting to build yourself based on preferences and judgments, you are not seeking completion. You are choosing separateness and denial. Love all. Accept all. Give all to all. There are no exceptions. This is the only way that you may complete yourself, and this is what form is for. It is useful for letting go of preferences and judgments. This is its purpose. Forgiveness of all that is not you. Form has no other purpose. Question. So instead of seeking that which is not me as a means of completing myself, I must let it go to find myself complete. Is that it? And the answer was yes. So right here, he's kind of pointing things in a different direction. We talked the other day when Laurent and I were teaching, I think it was Saturday morning, about the ego is grasping. Mm-hmm. This is using the same idea, only it's using the word seeking. But the seeking here is a grasping type of seeking.
And it's outside.
And it's outside. Seeking outside in relationships or in things, in achievements for completion. And what he's saying is what we really want to do in form, you know, a way that we can use this actual grasping of the ego is to notice what it's grasping for and then be willing to let go of it as we see what it's grasping for. So when we notice that it's grasping for special relationships, be willing to let go of special relationships. When we notice that it's grasping for achievements, recognition, be willing to let go of achievements and recognition. And as we let go of everything that the ego tries to seek to complete us, through that letting go, we discover that we are complete. Mm-hmm. The end.
I just want to say a little something to Lord Blue, but actually it's to me, of course, because I'm the only one talking to myself here. A great way that I found, because I have questions just like you, Lord Blue, so I can totally relate. Now, I found myself very very surprised, very happily surprised, when I realized that I would take one of these sentences that I love so much, you know, this one here about the fear and the hate, and take them deep, you know, read them very slowly, read them, and then I would realize that at some point, sort of flash of understanding would just come, and another one. And then I would realize that, wow, I found the meaning myself. And then the next day, another meaning would come still. It would be even deeper. I was like, wow. And then I realized that I have right here, now I'm talking personally here. I saw that there's a trick that I, because the ego is I, is my choice to believe in separation, is my choice not to know myself. And there are a lot of tricks, just like hate, just like judgment is one of them, just like choose between is one of them. I would say that judgment is the building block of the whole thing. One of the tricks that I discovered, lately we discover a lot of tricks, one of the tricks I discovered was that either the asking somebody for confirmation or the sharing. In sharing, which seems to be very nice, you know, in the sharing, which seems to be an extension, because when I share, of course, I'll feel happier. But a week ago, last Saturday, what I loved about the teaching that we did was the fact that we focused on the false happiness, on what makes me happy, but actually doesn't. And the sharing seems to be nice and stuff, but what I realize is that either my asking or my sharing, when I take that off, I feel very unhappy. I feel very like panicking. And I see that there's a little voice, like a little kid who wants to share absolutely, because if he doesn't share, he will feel miserable. Or if he doesn't ask, he will feel miserable as well.
Yeah.
That was very nice for me to see. That was very, very helpful. Then I stayed on that. And then I realized something else. I realized more. I realized that my belief in distrust, in hate in that sense, or fear of myself, mistrusting me, would lead me into those type of behavior. And these are just two out of like a lot. There's a lot. The ego is tricking us big time. So why did I say that right after this? It's because that little practice of like stop asking or stop sharing. And of course, don't take that personally in the sense that I'm not asking you to stop. Most generally, all your questions, I can so much relate to them. So I love them too. But the idea was that out of that little thing, it was building up, it is building self-trust or lowering self-doubt in a level that I didn't even suppose existed somehow. Something, we're talking lately of beliefs and ideas and the thoughts. And what's kind of amazing is that the beliefs are thoughts we believe and we don't even question them. So and Holy Spirit wants us to be aware of everything that is happening, to put the light on. So I felt like sharing that because I'm like I want to, but to deeper that in me as well. And I took the advantage of your questions.
Well, and of course, what Laurent is saying is just reminding me again of this last message that we've read from Holy Spirit about grasping. He's really asking us, notice what we grasp for. Notice what we grasp for and be willing to let it go. And again, one of the things we can grasp for is spiritual knowledge. And it can be a grasping rather than just a following of guidance. And to be able to notice that subtle difference, when we notice that I'm grasping for spiritual knowledge, there's something in me that's going to panic if I can't find it, to be willing to let go of that grasping is a wonderful thing. That's a big statement of trust. I'm not going to die if I don't grasp for this.
Yes, I mean, I was... this has nothing to do with what you just said, although it's funny. I mean, lol is lots of laughter, I guess.
Yeah, or laugh out loud.
Yes. At all. I think your questions are very deep, and as I told you, I can relate to them. But then, since I have the same type of questions, I just wanted to share. There's something quite amazing in reading reading something very slowly, just like that book. Is telling us to do, and it really works. Like you read very slowly without the thinking mind. That's the trick.
Yeah.
Like let me understanding without my organ of understanding.
Yeah, and in fact, the book Laurent is talking about is the most rapid and direct means to eternal bliss. I am moving very slowly, yet very devotedly through the book. I'm now in chapter 6, and when I sit down with that book in I'm going to call it a meditative state, and focus and reflect on those sentences in the way the author of the book asks us to, some of the realizations that I'm getting are just downright amazing. So it's absolutely wonderful to read in that way.
Yes, but there is the I was about to say, it's really, it's kind of funny because it's paradoxical. You're going to understand without the
thinking.
Classical understanding.
Without thinking.
And so, for example, I would take a phrase, a sentence like, hate is a protection for fear. Of course, we can have a lot of ideas, a lot of fun in many books. It's a great thing. A lot of discussion. And there's nothing wrong at all with that. Now, if I take that sentence myself, there's a lot of chance that I will be much happier because I will find an answer that will come from Holy Spirit, from my clarity, just by reflecting on it without thinking. It's just a great way of doing things, to read like very slowly and like that, and just clarity comes, and I can only convey to you to do the same thing, because it's great, and it builds self trust. You say, wow, I know that then, yes, from something else than my usual understanding.
Yeah, and I noticed that Laurent is, I mean, not Laurent, Laura Blue is commenting that maybe his intentions are being judged, and actually that's not what I'm perceiving right here from where I sit. What I am perceiving is that, of course, just like everyone else, Laurent is listening to everything through the filter of his mind. We are all doing that. We can't do anything but do that. But one thing that Laurent has been realizing lately is how his intellectual grasping was ego. Mm-hmm. And he is making a shift as a result. Once you have those kind of realizations and you want to let go of the ego, you make a shift. So really what he's doing is just expressing. It's like he said, he's really talking to himself. And that's exactly how I perceive it, and I'm actually very, very happy to hear it. So.
But it is exactly that. But yeah. I thought it was just very nice.
Yeah, absolutely. So, and yeah, Laura Blue, you do whatever you do. You do whatever you do. We enjoy answering your questions. At least I do. I can't speak for anyone else. Maybe some of the others.
Oh, I do too. Yeah. And you're like, you know, part of the family. You know, like a room without Laura Blue. You know what? No, forget it. No.
Yeah. All right, well, with that said, I think we're done.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's see. Today's Wednesday, which means tomorrow's Thursday. I am, I think, losing my thinking mind. I'm getting very simplistic, which, by the way, Lord Blue, takes me back to a question you asked me, I think it was last week, when you asked, when I'm teaching, aren't I thinking? And I told you, absolutely, I'm not. If you were living with me today, you would know that. If you were seeing that my thinking mind seems to be handicapped. Like I said, literally the phone rang a while ago and I couldn't even remember how to answer the phone. My thinking mind seems to be completely handicapped right now. Yet my teaching tonight, I thought, flowed wonderfully. Mm-hmm. That is something that I wasn't capable of, right? I mean, you saw me, Laurent.
with a lot of Wigo's problems, you know.
So I think that right there, Laura Blue, we have proof that actually it's not the thinking mind that is doing the teaching, because the thinking mind has not been working tonight. So the teaching is coming from somewhere else.
But I mean, it could, though. You know, I'm one who's very. I mean, I realize now that wow. I mean, to loosen the control, to give it to spirit, it's actually a big thing, because I realize, why am I thinking mind? Why am I understanding? It saved me. It helped me from feeling. From fear of feelings and emotion in my body, for example, if we take the body as an example. So I stayed in my mind. I stayed in my imaginings. And you know, through my imaginings, I got like very far. I really got very far. I got to like wonderful experiences. But right now, so it's kind of as you write, the releasing control is huge. The releasing control, especially with that one thing that helped me to be alive, actually, and well and happy. I say well and happy. Okay, of course, now my understanding of happiness has a little changed today. But it's through my imagining and my thinking now. It's in my stories, of course. I see people releasing easier, maybe the control of the thinking, going the heart without the thinking. I'm not this one. I'm big on understanding. I'm big on imaginings. And valued that a lot. Actually, valued out of fear. Valued because it was protecting me from, you know, feeling horrible stuff inside of me. So I use that, and I'm not the only one in that situation. You know, we all. But it's a tricky value. So really, to let go of that control for me now, that I realize when I go slowly, it brings a lot of panic, and I want to move now through this panic, because it's time. I mean, you know, I cannot. I'm always like very happy to understand everything, and when we discuss together, even Holy Spirit spoke about it and told us that we create the cyclone of love, because there's a lot of clarity, and I reach clarity, and I'm. But there's something that's missing. Is that famous? I mean, famous for me is that famous second and third floor. I love the 35th floor. It's amazing. The 15th floor is great as well. But the second and third floor, I didn't want to see. Now I cannot be complete. And anyway, the awareness is growing up there. Mm. So I cannot deny it anymore. And the way I was denying it was with my thinking, was with my understanding, which was really my savior. And now I'm like, okay, I breathe, you know, I breathe. And what I found actually with that way of reading very slowly, I don't know, it sounded like it tastes differently. The understanding is clarity, but it tastes like there's trust in it. There is not like, how do you say, something that is excited. That excitement that I have, I always find was not very kosher. And it's not very kosher because I was using that, which is very, very super spiritual and very right-minded. But I was there was something that was not quiet. And the not quiet was you know, really to, as I feel, you know, that is my understanding of today. It might just change. But I feel it was like an excitement that would allow me not to check out, not to check what was happening on the second and third floor, which was like fear.
Yeah,
fear,
yeah.
And hate. And there, of course, I'm using hate a lot not to go there, for example. But
Yeah, and this morning when we were in Awakenings, I read NTI Luke chapter 10. And the primary purpose of NTI Luke chapter 10 is, first of all, to teach us that what we value in the world, what the ego values above all else, is our thinking. And then Holy Spirit said that what we need to let go of is our thinking, which is asking us to let go of what we value the most. Mm. And Holy Spirit also said in Luke chapter 10, I understand that you're not going to do this until I teach you that what you value is actually valueless. And so that, of course, is what Holy Spirit is doing through NTI, as well as through all of the guidance that we receive, including learning to read these sentences more slowly and have insight come that's not through thinking. He is literally teaching us that our thinking, that which we value, is not anything worth valuing. Mm. In fact, by showing us all of the ego tricks that we've been seeing lately, those, of course, are all thinking tricks that we play on ourselves. So he's just making us more and more aware that our thinking is not our friend, you know, not like we thought it was,
mm-hmm.
and that our true friend is within.
Yes.
And as we let go of the thinking, then we become more in touch with our true friend.
Yes. And a lot of it allows us to see as well that there's a lot of, in the world of the motive, as I call it as well, that everything is very tricky, and the ego is really working like an illusionist. It is really putting our attention somewhere else, and it does that. Wow! I mean, it's brilliant, and
it's
brilliant. We did it.
We did it.
With
again,
one purpose. Yeah,
I mean
with one purpose. Now, and everywhere there's a little bit of judgment, and everywhere there's a little bit of trick.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for
like
example,
that.
I was reading something that touched me, what you just wrote, Maydell, because I have a little bit the same. But then, at some point, I ask Holy Spirit, or I'm still with Holy Spirit in the morning as well, just like with you, and I ask, you know, for the submarine to go like very slowly underneath and see what is the purpose of thing. And then, since I understand that I don't have an experience that I haven't willed for, that I haven't wanted, that I didn't want, the crying, for example, is an experience that I want. And what does the cry teach me? What does the cry teaching me? And it opens, like, because it seems nice, you know, we cry, it's a nice emotion and stuff, and it sounds very real. But then, underneath that, there's a whole lot of, like, little ideas that we teach the mind, like, we come... You know, it comes from belief in lack, definitely, belief in loss, you know, loss and lack, and then, of course, who is crying as well. You know, there's a lot of, it's very good to question and to doubt what we don't question and doubt generally, meaning the belief that we are not even looking at, you know, like crying. Like, you know, when I cry, I say, oh, wow, at least I cry, it's nice. But I said, no, a little moment, a little interval that lasts, I don't know, a split of a second, where I see that I have the choice, where Holy Spirit told me, showed me that I had the choice to cry or not to cry, meaning I had the choice to judge or not to judge, because generally the crying comes from, it's a sadness, and it comes from a judgment. And then the more we're aware of that, we work on the thoughts with Regina, the more we realize that everything, even very quick, has a little thought before that.
Mm.
There's a little thought that triggers. Mm. There's a little thought that triggers and that we believe very quickly, and we hide the belief and we're left with the effect of it.
Yeah, in fact, just a real quick example is that I took a nap this afternoon for about an hour, and when I woke up from the nap, it was 6:30, and I had a 7 o'clock meeting over the telephone scheduled. And my very first thought was, oh, I don't want to have a meeting. And then I realized immediately that that was just a thought. But if I chose to believe I don't want to have a meeting, I'm going to get up feeling like I don't want to have a meeting. I'm going to have the moodiness of I don't want to have a meeting. So again, we believe the thoughts, and then we have the experience, and that, mm-hmm. of course, leads us to believe our thoughts even more, because now they're backed up by experience.
Yes. And when they're backed up by experience, you would have created, there would have been a lot of proof.
I didn't want to have a meeting.
Yeah, but it's really the other way around. It's very tricky in the idea that Ben is talking about that very often. Mm. The idea that it's really what I think I see, what I see I experience, and what I experience I think. So.
Yes.
Very tricky. When I believe something that I don't even know I believe, I will have a lot of proof that will prove me
that you're right.
Yeah, that I was right. So the experience would have proved me right, and that's not the case.
So the important thing for me to do, of course, today in today's example, was to see that it was just a thought and let it go, so that I could be enthused about having the meeting. And then the funny thing is, the meeting didn't happen anyway, so not everybody showed up, so it ended up just being a rap session instead. Mm. But still, it was very important to catch the thought and to realize that if I believe the thought, that would create my experience. To ask myself, is that the experience I want? Is that the experience of happiness? Or as Laurent would ask, is that the light, love, and joy that I seek? It is not. Let go of the thought. That's what this is all about.
As Bill called that question, a gatekeeper.
A gatekeeper.
I really love that.
All right.
Yeah,
it's a gatekeeper. All right. All right then, everyone. I think I've said, whoops. I don't think I'm saying goodbye tonight. Now I hear Steve coming. Go ahead, Steve.
Well, I was just going to say, I listened to two women talking one time a while back, and one woman said the other one, they were kind of agreeing, like, oh, I made up my astrological chart and everything turned out just the way I thought it was going to. And my first thought was, what, you think your mind might be that? Well, maybe it's going to turn out. It was like, it just seemed so obvious to me. I didn't say anything to her at the time, really. I was like, well, you think maybe because you believed it happened? And it just seems like such an obvious conclusion, you know. I wasn't able to say anything to the person, but it's just like, the first thought in my mind is, well, you think it might happen because you believed it was going to happen. You know, just for me, it just seemed really obvious. You know what I mean? That whatever we end up believing ends up being true. You know, it's just what my experience seems to be anyway. So thanks for letting me share it. I got to, let you go.
Well, thank you
for everything you shared tonight, too.
Thank you very much.
I like it when you go through the archives because it seems helpful to go through the process, you know.
Yeah, it is.
It's
fun. All right.
Thanks again. Have a good night. All right.
Thank you, Steve. You have a good night, too. And I think now we can say good night to everyone. Yeah, Lord Blue's even telling us to get out of here.
Thank you, Lord Blue. Thank you. By the way, Lord Blue, I'm very grateful for you, because everybody was telling me, but nobody knows who's Lord Blue and all that. And finally, I saw your picture that I like very much.
Yeah, cute picture, Lord Blue.
I like it very much.
All right. Good night, everyone. We love you. Laurent is here tomorrow at 1 o'clock Eastern Time. And then I'm back on Friday at 2 o'clock for the NTI study group. And then Jasmine is here at 4 o'clock for NTI Mark on Friday. See you all in the next couple of days. Bye.
Okay.